Thank you again, Pastor Tom. It was very great to see you on the pulpit. Thank you again. And for those who don't know, as Pastor Tom mentioned it, Mrs. Spino, Catherine Spino, the mother of Michael Spino and Peter Spino and Janet, and the the mother of your ex-wife passed away. She has been with the Lord. Now she's rejoicing with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thank you, Michael, for the scripture reading. And this morning we'll continue with our series on 2 John. And 2 John, and you'll find it on page 1211. And this is a brand new series that we started last week. And the Apostle John, the author of that book, and short letter, very, very short, and was concerned about the truth. And the immediate reason for this letter was the invasion of false teachers into the homes of well-intentioned, hospitable believers who were not discerning. And John, who had walked with Jesus during his earthly life, bore witness that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he took paper and ink to confront the false teachers who denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and warned believers to not welcome such men into their homes. And John was controlled and motivated by the truth. And he says, the truth centers on the person of Jesus Christ. And he was glad that those whom he had met were walking in the truth. In verses 1 to 6, and as we just read, he gives us four elements for the believers to walk in the truth. And he points out to us at least three benefits of doing so. And last week we saw the four elements last week. And first, to walk in the truth, we need to know that we are God's chosen people, saved by his sovereign grace to develop a personal relationship with him. And second, and we must know the truth, which is Jesus in Jesus Christ himself. And the reality that God chose us to be his children gives comfort when we are under attack or going through trials. And these believers had gone through turmoil when the false teachers caused confusion and division. It could be a comfort for them. It would be a comfort to be reminded that God had initiated their salvation and he would complete what he started. And the false teachers would not and could not undermine what God sovereignly purposed to do in his church. As we said, the second element is we must know the truth, which is in Jesus Christ himself. And John is inviting us to come into a personal relationship with Christ, with God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and to know him personally is to be in the truth. And to be saved, you simply must recognize that you are a sinner in the need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. And trust in him, and he will save you. And thirdly, we must learn to discern. And we said last week, discernment is an ongoing process that comes from prayer and sound doctrine. And finally, we must obey his command. And John says in verse 5, now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. In verse 6, he says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And biblical love is not primarily a feeling, but rather a matter of the will that can be commended. It is a self-sacrificing, caring commitment that seeks the highest good of the one loved. Love for God is closely connected with obedience to the truth. And biblical love is not a suggestion. It's a command. It's an order given. It's not a suggestion. And let me tell you, do you find some people difficult to love? We all do. Yeah. Even though you try hard to love them, but you're still uncomfortable every time they get into the room. And your blood turns ice. You get chills. He's here. Every time they come close to you, you get goosebumps. Let me give you some couple of reasons why that happens. First, you probably have some unresolved matters that make you uncomfortable with that person. You are unable to have some difficult conversations, and now you are trying to avoid them. And difficult conversations are not easy, but sometimes you need to have them if you truly love the truth. And probably someone has hurt you, but you don't have the courage to tell him that, so that you hold it. You keep it in your heart, and you develop resentment for that person. Instead of going to confront that person, you go and tell everyone except that person. And now, when this person is next to you, you become uncomfortable because you never told him the truth. And pray that the Lord gives you the courage to go to that person and talk to him to resolve that matter. Another reason is that someone told you the truth about something in your life, but you're not able to accept it because you don't like to be challenged. And instead of thinking about it or praying about it and praying that the Lord helps you to remove that thing or change it, and you take that person as a target to destroy. And the Lord used that person to exhort you, to help you grow in maturity. And the problem is not that person, but the truth that has been revealed. And so bring it to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you to submit to his will. And the act of submitting our will and feelings to him in prayer allows the Holy Spirit to change our hearts slowly but surely. And by the way, someone said, truth without love has no decency. It's just brutality. And when you have something to tell someone, make sure that you say it in love. And love without truth has no character. It's just hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You see, you love. You say to that person that you love him, you never tell him the truth. And if you feel someone is hard to love, pray for him. Prayer opens ourselves, our feelings, and our relationships with others to God. Allow him to enter and bring his perspective into it all. And no wonder Jesus' call to love our enemies is bound up tightly with a call to prayer. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, pray for those who mistreat you. The Apostle John says, It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And every local church where truth is preached, believers are bound up tightly in love, because truth is preached. And to walk is an action verb. You know, you walk. It's an action verb. And walking is the Greek word. And the Apostle John used the Greek word peripatheo, and means to walk around. He's walking. And the idea is to move through life, to conduct ourselves within the framework of the truth. So everywhere you go, you are walking in that framework of truth. And believers are literally controlled by the truth. And they are moving around the truth, in the truth. And their life is defined by the truth. And the truth is not just to be believed, it's a way of living. And you don't just know the truth and believe the truth. If you are a Christian, you live the truth. It controls you. It defines you. It's the path you walk. It's the life you live. And we who know Christ, we live in the truth, in the sense that it's the boundaries for our lives. It informs our thinking, our speaking, our acting. It's agreed through everything that comes to us passes. And we view the world through the truth. It defines everything. It's our worldview. And there are some specific commands in the scripture to walk in the truth and to live in the truth. And we are commanded to be holy, to conduct ourselves in a holy way. And we are commanded to be obedient repeatedly in Scripture. But this commandment here is not referring to one verse or another. It's just referring to the general tenor of Scripture. And we have received commandment from the Father, and that commandment stretches us across the world, the whole Scripture. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 14, if you look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 14, Paul refers to Scripture as the commandment. The commandment. It's full of commandment, but collectively, it is the commandment. And now, let's look at some of the benefits of walking in the truth. And if you can, follow with me with the bulletin insert that you have. The benefits of walking the truth. First, and the Apostle John said, and the truth unites us. And second, the truth abides in us, and the truth blesses us. And first, the truth unites us. If you look at verse 1 and second John, the Apostle John wrote, "The elder to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth." And what he is saying here is that our connection is the truth. And not I, but also all who know the truth. Our connection is not a denomination. If you said Baptist, I would ask you, it is open communion or closed communion? Or if you said Baptist, I would ask you, if it's general Baptist or particular Baptist? If you said Baptist, I would ask you again, if it's Arminian or Calvinist? If you said Baptist, I would ask you again, another question, because denomination cannot unite us. Our connection is not spirituality, as if it was some nebulous self-defined thing. Our connection is a body of truth, the revealed scripture, the revealed truth. It is the truth that unites us. And that is to say, all believers are linked together by common knowledge of and belief in the truth. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. And you may believe in God, and you may think you are saved by believing something about his death and resurrection, but if it's not the true God and true Christ revealed in Scripture, and if it's not believing in the truth, in the true gospel with all of its elements, in the work of Christ, and including the true faith in the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, if all the components that are biblical are not there, and you don't have a true commitment and turning from sin to Christ, then you have fallen short of the standard of salvation. Believers are linked in the body of Christ. We are linked together with a common eternal life by common knowledge of and belief in gospel truth. And now we are talking about gospel truth, the true view of God, the true view of Christ, and the true view of salvation and the means of that salvation. All that is inherent in that, and God as the sovereign of the universe, the Creator, God as Trinity, Christ as God in human flesh, and Christ as the perfection of God in man and indivisible unity. Christ, who lives a sinless life, dies a substitutionary death, is raised from the grave in a literal physical resurrection, ascends to heaven, intercedes for us to return to take us to be with him, and then establish his glorious kingdom on earth. And this is the drive train of gospel truth. And that is what ties us together, Christ. At any point where someone does not believe that truth, whatever they may claim about Christianity, they are not Christians. True believers are linked not by organization, not by some nebulous testimony to Christ or God, but by common knowledge of and belief in the actual gospel truth. This is the gospel. This is what ties us together. And all who know truth share the same spiritual life. Our affections, our sympathies, our care, our concern, our compassion for each other are experienced because we are tied together in the truth. And it's really the truth that produces this love. And there is no real love possible without the truth. And that's why we cannot be unequally yoked together with some people who have a substandard gospel. And we cannot compromise the truth and accomplish the purposes of God. We cannot minimize the truth for the sake of love, because we'll never have love, because love demands the truth. The second benefit of walking in the truth, the Apostle John said, the truth abides in us. If you look at verse 2, John goes on to say, because of the truth which abides in us, in other words, or lives in us, and will be with us forever. We are not only united by the truth, but also indwelled by the truth. He lives in us. Here we see the depth of this great reality. And John says, look, I love in the truth. We all love each other who know the truth, and we do it for the sake of the truth. All our Christian love, all of our Christian fellowship is to manifest the power of the truth. And this is the benchmark of our Christian faith. It is by this, and Jesus said, it is by this that all men know that we are his disciples if we have love one for one another. It is very remarkable. It's a remarkable common love because we share a common life in the truth that manifests the glory of the power of the gospel. And John says, I'm writing for the sake of the truth because the truth is all we have. It's the truth that unites us. It's the truth that abides in us. And so to you, the chosen lady whom I love, comes this letter for the sake of the truth. And literally the phrase, because of the truth, means I want to defend the truth. I want to protect the truth. And every Christian should witness for the sake of the truth. And we should live our life in a godly way for its sake. And we love each other for the sake of the truth. And John lived for the sake of the truth. It's all about the truth. And he adds that next feature, which abides in us and will be with us forever. And one thing about the true Christian, or he or she knows the truth. And because you wouldn't be a Christian if you didn't know the truth. And you cannot be saved without it. And that's why back in 1 John 2, verse 20, if you go back to 1 John 2, verse 20, it's two, three pages back. In verse 20, John wrote, you have an anointing. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and all of you know the truth. Verse 21, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. And down in verse 27, he wrote, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And that's the Holy Spirit who opened our mind, illuminated you to understand that truth. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and it is true and is not lie, it's not a lie, and just as it taught you, you abide in him. So we don't need some philosopher to come and teach you the truth of the universe. John said, we know the truth. And it was the knowledge of the truth given to us by the Spirit of God that saved us. And how important is the truth? It is the source of our salvation. It's the source of our unity. It is our abiding confidence. And thirdly, John said, our third benefit of walking in the truth in verse 3, grace, mercy, peace. And this is the common New Testament benediction. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you, will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth, in love. Let me ask you, do you want grace, mercy, and peace, the kind that comes from God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, the Son of Jesus, the Son of the Father? And you will receive it only in truth, in love, that accompanies that truth. And all the writers of the New Testament give these great spiritual blessings, grace, mercy, and peace. And as Jude writes, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. And where divine truth dominates the mind and the heart, there will be grace and mercy and peace forever. Grace for our sin, mercy for our misery, and peace for our turmoil. And all come through the truth, and that is inseparably linked to the common knowledge, common love we share with those who believe that truth. When gospel truth comes, it brings love, and with it, grace, mercy, and peace. And let me conclude with some words with regard to unity and rumors. Rumors build up personal offenses. And I believe the number one enemy of unity is the tongue. The tongue. And John says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. And with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Pray that God would give you an awareness of your words. Among those that run with people to spread rumors, they are lacking several things. And the first thing, there is a lacking of wisdom. A lack of wisdom. And wisdom asks such searching questions as, is this necessary? It asks, is this confidential information that I really don't know all about? And wisdom says, don't open your mouth, because God hates the one who sows discord among believers. Sowing discord among brethren is counted along with murder, among other things. And you see that the seventh item listed as an abomination in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, we read is one who sows discord among brothers. And all of the first six ultimately led to this discord and division. But God hates this because he loves unity. And Psalm 133, verse 1 says, it reminds us, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And sowing of discord disrupts unity and causes great division, which in many cases could be irreparable. The second thing that is lacking among those who run with people to spread rumors is accurate information. Accuracy. Is that true? And what is the truth? And to find the truth, the source has to be encountered. And from the source, there must be given the freedom to share. Accuracy asks, is this true? Can I go and quote the original source? And thirdly, a proper setting is lacking. And would this benefit the person that hears me? Can you do anything about it? Or is just pouring information, pouring something into someone's ears that would disturb him? When you give information to someone and that is critical and negative and they cannot do anything about it, and you know how we call this? We call it gossip. And when you go to an individual and we can do something about it, and you share it in the spirit of love, and that is constructive criticism. Not every critic is an enemy of the faith. Not every person who criticizes is of the devil. But a person who is genuinely interested in the truth uses his tongue to maintain it and to restore it and to secure it. In the case of gossip, rebuke is the best response. And the next time someone brings gossip or rumors into your ears, rebuke them. And chances are they will not bring them anymore. And don't be tied up with someone in gossiping to destroy the truth. Don't have some, you know, I really want to encourage you to not have some gossip buddy. This is my gossip buddy. And you call that person if you want to do gossip and you call him or you call her. And it's crucial that you step in if you want to grow in truth and love. In simple rule, if someone comes to you and says something about another person, ask him if he will be able to repeat the same exact statement in the presence of this person. But if he says, let's say if he says yes, if he can, encourage him to do it in love, to do so in love. And the flesh is the most creative thing we possess. We never run out of creative ways of gossiping. Never. Never. It's just remarkable. It's in human nature. So we want to gossip. Is your tongue a loose tongue? Let me tell you, I have good and bad news for you, because God will have to deal with it. If you have a loose tongue. Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul said, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others according to their needs, and that it may benefit those who listen. That may include edifying the body of Christ." And John says, "I'm not inventing something new. I'm not innovating as the heretics always do. And this is just something you have heard from the very start. The defining mark of a true believer is that he loves his brother. And the defining mark of a non-believer is that he hates his brother. And this is not anything new. You have always known it. Not only from the beginning of your salvation, but way back. That old commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." Let me conclude. And with what is the first fruit of the Spirit? The first fruit of the Spirit is love. You have now a new comprehension of love, not only by the example of Christ, as Paul would say, but by indwelling of the Spirit. And the work of the new covenant grace has granted to the believer the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit comes an experience and a comprehension of love never experienced before and not known in that degree of fullness. Brothers, let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you to love. We are commanded to love our brothers and sisters. If you have someone that is hard to love, bring him to the Lord. Let's take some time to bring that person to the Lord. If he is a member of your family or family member, someone that you haven't seen for a while, if you think that if this person comes into the home, you will have chills, bring him to the Lord. Let's do that. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that as well as we are controlled by the truth, for we walk according to your word, and your word, said our Lord, is truth. And make us the people of the truth. We know it. We love it. We obey it and we proclaim it. We live out before a watching world, and that they may see the power of your transforming work in our lives. Father, I pray that if anyone here has someone in his heart or in her heart that he is not comfortable with him, please, Lord, working his or her in your heart. And these things we ask that you might be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.